Hello, if you're a Christian who is struggling with OCD, I wanted to offer some additional support this summer. On Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Central Time in June and July, over 8 sessions, I'm going to be providing a teaching time, a learning experience where you can come learn about managing your stress level, dealing with uncertainty, catching that first obsession before it becomes a loop, dealing with disengaging from physical, mental compulsions, scrupulosity, shame, really any questions that you want to bring to these times, I'm open to talking about that have to do with your faith and OCD journey. And the most exciting part is that you do not have to be in Tennessee to come. So even if you're in another state in the U.S. or somewhere else in the world and you are able to tune in at that time, you're certainly welcome to do so. For more information, go to bythewellcounseling.com. I look forward to seeing you there. Welcome to Hope for Anxiety and OCD, episode 113. Today on the show, I have with me Sarah Tynan. She is an author of the book So That and wellness educator. Her passion of teaching comes from her own personal experience with her mental health struggle. So we're going to talk today about her story, some things that she's picked up along the way, as well as things that she teaches to individuals that she works with now. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What kind of led you on this journey to become a wellness educator and author and just tell your story?
My own journey to where I am today, which is, I'd like to think I'm pretty well mentally, physically, and spiritually, but that didn't happen overnight. It happened over a course of years, and I went through a lot of twists and turns. I got to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm doing really good, and I don't think that I'm on the other side of this for no reason. I think everything God does has a purpose, and I felt like God was saying, okay, well, if you feel like you're well, then use what happened to you to help other people. And so that started by, I just wrote it all out. I wrote down like everything that happened to me and through me, and that turned into a book. And wow. Then after a couple of years of that book just kind of being there, I was like, there's still more. So then I created a mental health conference. And even after that, I just kept feeling that phrase, there's still more, there's still more. So I redid my book and added a devotional to the back of it, because a devotional was one of the big tools that helped me in my journey. That's where I am today. I just launched my podcast in January, which is just another resource for people to go to find free tools, some of the tools that I've learned along my journey.
What is your podcast called?
It's called Fulfilled, and it's all about living this fulfilled life and clinging to the promises that God has yet to fulfill.
Yes, that's so good. So many of us are in the waiting on the journey. Oh. Where we desire to be, where God desires us to be. And really, that's a lifelong process of sanctification, which is really just a big word for becoming more like Christ. We're all on the journey somewhere. I really do believe that the Bible has direction for us, that if we are even slightly farther along than a brother or sister in the journey, it's our responsibility to help lift them up to where they need to be. That's awesome. What do you feel like was a rock bottom moment for you as you were going
through this? Chapter
in
my life and the chapter in my book that's literally titled Rock Bottom. I won't give away too many details because obviously you got to read the book, but I'm literally an open book. I mean, I love sharing my story, so I'll share what I can. The rock bottom happened when I was at college. I had been drinking a lot. I had been dabbling in a bunch of different like marijuanas and marijuana types, even some of the synthetic stuff. I was also heavily medicated. I was on medications for bipolar and insomnia. I was on another one that kind of helped with the anxiety that came with the bipolar. All these medications should not be mixed with anything, especially alcohol, especially synthetic marijuana. All of those things led me to get to this place where I was suicidal. I was cutting my wrists. I then was ready to end it. And so I tried to take a bottle of pills and somebody walked in. And that somebody was a friend. And she said, all right, I see what you're doing. If you don't get your mom on the phone, I'm going to call her. My mom came and got me. I checked into a mental institution that's no longer around. I don't even remember the name of it, but I know that they shut down a couple of years ago. They had both inpatient and outpatient. I think we lived close enough that I was able to do the outpatient. And so I would go into this facility, and I forget how long the program was supposed to be, but a couple of days in, I was like, this is not for me. This is not the life God wants me to live. I was sitting in a circle. We had group therapy, something that happens frequently in the mental institutions. We're sitting in this group therapy session, and it was older than me women, and they were all talking about their problems. And I remember just sitting there thinking, I don't fit in with these people. I don't have a hard life. Nothing bad happened to me. I think I just need to like get my act together. And it was just this moment where I was like, this is it. I can't ever do this again. I do not want to feel this way. I don't want to live this way. And so I went home and I kind of looked at all the things that I had been doing in my life and not doing. And even my dad was like, Sarah, you're not really active. Like you used to be in dance and you're not moving your body at all. All the alcohol you were drinking, you're consuming a lot of junk food. So we looked at my physical situation. I was very unhealthy. I wasn't eating nourishing foods. I wasn't moving my body. And then I looked at my spiritual situation. I wasn't reading my Bible. I would go to church every now and then because my parents made me when I came home from college. I just kind of reevaluated where I was mentally, physically, and spiritually. And then I implemented tools. Well, those tools took me to this place where my doctor said, Sarah, you no longer need to be medicated for your mental illnesses. And that was 12 years ago. Haven't had a medication for mental health since.
That's huge. I think that was a wake-up call for you in terms of I'm sitting in this circle with these women who are older than I am. And if I don't change something about what I'm doing, if I don't live my life, that's where I'm going to be in 10 years, 20 years, whatever.
That's exactly what happened.
Talk to us about the marijuana, the synthetic marijuana. There's a lot of that stuff going around now, and people just see it as, there are some Christians that will even tell you, it's a plant. God gave it to us. We should use it in the ways that we see fit. And I've known a lot of clients who have struggled with things like sleep. Like you had said, insomnia was a big deal for you at one time. And they've just said, hey, this is the only way I can wind down at night. This is the only way that I can go to sleep. What was your awareness or thought process on going from using to not using?
Actually, I'm glad you said that, because all of those thoughts that you said, that's the thought that I had. I've been a believer my whole life. When I was really in my rock bottom where I was drinking and smoking, it was all like party usage, right? It was all just like, let's get blackout, just forget all our problems, or let's have fun. That was my use in college. But then even after I was well, this was actually a couple of years ago, I got back into using marijuana, but I was using it for wellness purposes because it is talked about. And I did think, well, it's natural. I bet Jesus would have smoked pot when he was here on earth. Those are the things I said and believed for 2 years until I was baptized by the Holy Spirit and had true conviction. You talked about sanctification. Well, I believe that I finally had this conviction where God was like, I want more for you, and I want you to live the way that Jesus lived. So let's change some things. And what took me from using marijuana to not using marijuana was what I felt God said to me was, you trusted me to heal your mind before. Can you do that again with this? So when God originally healed me, when I got off of my medication, my struggles were bipolar and insomnia. But a couple of years ago, I started developing really, really bad anxiety. My son got really sick, and I was planning this mental health conference, and it took a toll on my mental health. My anxiety was through the roof. I was constantly, like, my heart was racing. If my phone buzzed, I would literally jump, because I was so anxious about everything. And so I started using marijuana. I would take tinctures, I would smoke, I would get edibles, I would go to the Delta 8, Delta 9, whatever it took to take me from this very hyper anxious person. And where it took me was sunken into my couch, not being present with my family. And eventually, after that conviction came into my life, I felt like God said, you don't need this to heal. You need to rely on me and the things that you've done in your past to heal. And what happened, even though I felt that conviction, I want to be totally honest, I continued using marijuana up until, actually, it's been a year. It was last December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But it took me realizing that I was completely disappearing from my family because I thought that was right. It took me going, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how far I had gone with this stuff. I went and got some of the legal stuff. It's called Delta 8 or Delta 9. And I justified it in my head by saying, this is legal. It's not wrong. I'm not breaking the law. This is natural. It's what God would have wanted me to do. I believed those lies. I took the, I don't remember if it was 8 or 9. Either way, it's legal. I took it. I became so paranoid, which this happens, this is very common. I was worse off with my anxiety than I was before. And the purpose I was taking it was to help with my anxiety. That was a wake-up call for me. I was like, what am I doing? I'm so desperate to get well, to not have anxiety, that I'm doing something that's taking me in the opposite direction. And so that was one of my bigger wake-up calls, when I was like, oh God, you really are trying to get my attention here. And so in January of last year, our church did this series called A Year From Now. And it was really, really cool. My pastor brought out our baptismal, the trough that we baptized people in, and it was empty. And he had everyone write down on a piece of paper some things that they wanted to surrender to the Lord, habits, addictions, whatever. I wrote down marijuana, and we put it in the baptismal, and then he threw dirt on it. And it was a symbol of, you have to die to yourself if you want to follow Christ.
Right.
And so I decided to give up marijuana and trust that God would continue healing my anxiety. And it's so cool because he absolutely did. We wrote letters to ourselves and sealed it, addressed it, and our church sent it out. You guys, I got the letter last week, and it was like the things that you wanted to be, where you wanted to be a year from now. And it was just amazing to see, like, I went a whole year without relying on marijuana for my anxiety, and I haven't had anxiety.
That's awesome. Do you feel like the things that you were doing, like sleeping well and eating well and moving your body, like exercise can be really great for us in terms of making us be ready to wind down at the end of the day and to de-stress? Definitely. Yes. Helps a lot. It's truly like a God thing that we're having this conversation, because I made a decision at the end of last year to make some health changes this year. I just kind of had let my health fall by the wayside physically and was just kind of eating whatever was convenient and in front of me, instead of really taking the time to plan and be intentional about what I was eating. And I wasn't, had kind of fallen away from exercise routines. And I've just noticed how much better I feel making those changes when I eat well and when I exercise, and how that has had truly a ripple effect in other areas of my life. It's had ripple effects that I can see in my business in terms of planning and intentionality. It's had ripple effects in my spiritual life and other places. So I think a lot of times we know what we need to do, and taking that first step really is the hardest, or sticking with it once we've taken that first step is amazing. But you have to kind of set that intentionality and to say, I'm going to take away all of the excuses that I have in my life. I need this. One of the things I processed was, when I'm really stressed, it seems like I'm running to sugar or caffeine.
Right.
And in the process of like shifting my diet and having a lot less sugar in there now, and less, instead of just being so carb laden like the average American diet is, it's really has helped me realize, oh, I don't need to depend on a substance, because whether we like it or not, sugar or caffeine can become like our substance that we rely on, instead of saying like, okay, God, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do about this situation, how do I move forward? Instead of engaging in some of those healthy habits, we turn towards what's comfortable and familiar with us.
Whether that's sugar or weed or alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also common for a lot of people to just say, well, I just have a glass of wine at night to wind down, but then they don't realize the accumulation of that over time. When we had talked before, you told me about using scriptural affirmation with clients. Would you share with us like how you utilize some of those? I think a lot of times people use affirmations that aren't Christian, right? And they're just like, I am strong and I am powerful and I can do anything I set my mind to. And some of them are just completely bogus and not true. And kind of like we're trying to inflate ourselves in some way, or even could give into pride. How do you utilize the scriptural affirmation with the people you work with?
I love affirmations. I used to teach a class. It was a yoga class. We would get into a stretch, and then while we were in the stretch, we would say, I am, and then you fill in the blank, whatever the theme of the day was. I created this, it's kind of like a curriculum, because we met every single Tuesday for like a year and a half. Every Tuesday, I would have to come up with my plan for what I was going to teach, what the affirmations were going to be. And I got to this place where I ran out of affirmations. I was just pulling them from Pinterest. And then I was like, what about grabbing the Bible? And so I literally just grabbed my Bible, I opened it up, and I just pulled a random scripture and I was like, what does this say about me, about who I am in Christ? An example I like to use is most Christians know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you can break that up into multiple affirmations. I mean, one of the affirmations you said was, I am strong. That's a true affirmation. My question is, where do you get the strength? The Bible, Philippians 4:13 tells us we get it from Christ. So when you say your affirmation, you're thinking, I am strong. You can keep it going by saying, Christ strengthens me, or I am strong because Christ strengthens me. And so you take what's in the Bible and you say it as if it's your words, because you're believing that what the Bible is truth, right? That's part of being a Christian. You believe that that word is breathed out by God and it's true. What the Bible says about you is true. And a lot of the struggles I had when I was harming myself was what I call stinking thinking. And it's where I start to tell myself, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't handle this. Those are lies. And I don't serve the father of lies. I serve the Lord. And the Lord says that I am strong. That's what the Bible says. That's one of my biggest tools, is scripture-based positive affirmations. And I'll write them on my mirror. It changes from season to season. Sure. For example, there's seasons where I struggle with feeling pretty enough, or there's seasons where I struggle with feeling smart enough. And so that's when I lean into, what is the Bible saying about me? Another one I like to use is Proverbs 31, all about the being the wife that God's called me to be, being the mother God's called me to be.
I was going to ask you about kind of insecurities about physical appearance. Like, are there certain ones that you use when you don't feel pretty enough? Do you focus on just being beautiful, like internally?
Yes. Is that another part of Proverbs 31 where it talks about like the words of your mouth? What makes you pretty is your heart. I know there's a verse, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it does speak to that. It does say that your appearance is worthless if what's in your heart is hate. And then the words of your mouth make up what you look like. I cannot think of the scripture, but I know that that's there. And that's one that I will lean into. And it's like, I may have a breakout today, but that does not define who I am in Christ, because my heart is still beautiful.
Usually kind of towards the end of our episode and our time together, I like to ask people a couple of different questions. One is like, what would you tell your younger self that was just kind of like living the typical college life, if you want to call it that, just living for the moment, partying, junk food, staying up late, not getting enough sleep, all of those things. What would you want her to know?
The thing that I was told when I was struggling a couple years ago, which is there's still more. There's still more goodness for you. God has a plan for you, which that was spoken over my life when I was really young, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has plans for good and there's a future for hope for me. I heard that growing up and I ignored it when I was in college. I thought, this is all God has for me. This is my life. I am bipolar. I can't sleep. I can't do anything right. I'm not good enough. I believed all those lies. So if I could just speak that into myself, there is still more for you, Sarah. God has so much in store for you. You just have to get through this short season. You will be strengthened by it. When you're on the other side of it, God is going to use this storm and he's going to turn it into the most beautiful rainbow you can ever imagine. I was actually just thinking about this because we didn't talk much about my struggles a couple of years ago, but my son was really sick and I didn't think I was going to get through it. I was starting to feel very anxious. That's why I turned to the marijuana. But there was a phrase that someone said to me that I just want anybody out there who's struggling to kind of like hold on to this. And it's just two words. It's for now. This trial that you are facing right now, this storm, it's only for now.
Yeah.
And it will strengthen you. And God will use this pain for your purpose.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest questions and struggles that people have is, am I always going to feel this way? We can get really stuck in that. Like, this feels so terrible, horrible, awful. I can't stand one more moment. Am I always going to feel this way? And I think one of the things that we want to promote on the show is hope. That now you feel this way, and you know what, tomorrow you may feel this way, in 2 weeks you might, but over time, that doesn't mean you're going to feel this way forever. There is hope, there is help for our physical bodies, there's help for our emotional health, and there's healing from past trauma.
Yes.
There's so many things that I would absolutely agree with you and stand on and say, there's more for people out there now than what they're facing, that God wants believers to be empowered and to be his light in the world. And if we're kind of just covering in a corner saying, I can't do this, then it's hard for us to be able to shine that light. And so that's part of my passion, is helping people, you know, see that confidence in Christ. I think it's so important.
Yeah, I love that. I'm really glad I found your podcast, because that's everything I stand for.
Yeah. And I want to check out yours too, since it's new, and kind of see how it's flowing and listening to your story. We're going to put Sarah's website in the show notes, and we'll find your podcast too, and we can link to that. That way people can connect with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, really from a place of being at rock bottom and suicidal to now just thriving by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you everyone else for listening.
If you like this episode and you want to find out more about what's going on with the podcast, you can subscribe to our newsletter at hopeforanxietyandocd.com. Hope for Anxiety and OCD is a production of By the Well Counseling. Our show is hosted by me, Carrie Bach, licensed professional counselor in Tennessee. Opinions given by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of myself or By the Well Counseling. Our original music is by Brandon Mangroom. Until next time, may you be comforted by God's great love for you.